From the American College of Cardiology, this is Dr. Kim Eagle, ACC.org Editor-in-Chief, with this week's Eagle's Eye View. This is your weekly cardiovascular update from ACC.org. For this week, we covered about a dozen articles and a number of other statements from our various working groups. But there were two pieces of content I thought I would just mention this week that I think are very useful. The first one was a great article published in JACC, looking at the impact of statins on cardiovascular outcomes based on coronary artery calcium scoring. And the other is a scientific statement from the American Heart Association looking at exercise programs and their value for patients with peripheral arterial disease. So the first article is a paper entitled Impact of Statins on Cardiovascular Outcomes Following Coronary Artery Calcium Scoring. And the study question was whether or not coronary artery calcium score identifies patients who would be most likely to have a reduction in atherosclerotic cardiovascular events with statin treatment. It was a big study. It looked at patients who were seen and underwent evaluation and calcium scoring between 2002 and 2009 at Walter Reed Army Medical Center. And the calcium scoring was obtained at the discretion of the ordering provider. The primary outcome looked at was major first adverse cardiovascular event, which was a composite of things you and I care about, acute MI, stroke, or cardiovascular death. And the effect of statin therapy was adjusted for calcium score and other comorbidities. There were over 13,000 patients studied. Their mean age was 50, and 71% were men. And they were followed for a long time, almost 10 years, 9.4 years. About 50% of the patients were treated with a statin, and half of those within 6 months of obtaining the calcium score. Patients were followed for at least a mean on statin of 5.5 years, and the patients on statins tended to be older, to be male, and as you might expect, they had a higher number of risk factors. Interestingly, 69% of this cohort did not have any detectable coronary calcium. Comparing those with and without statin exposure, statin therapy was associated with a reduced risk of the endpoint of about 25%, but it wasn't seen in patients who had zero calcium. The effect of statins on the endpoint was significantly related to the severity of the calcium score. And interestingly, if you looked at patients who had a calcium score between 1 and 100, you would have needed to treat 100 individuals to reduce one event or eliminate one event. But if the score was greater than 100, the number needed to treat was actually just 12, which obviously is a very cost-effective strategy. Statin intensity was an independent predictor of improved event-free survival. Patients who had no calcium but had a very high ASCVD risk score, more than 20%, they also had a 74% reduction in hazard of the endpoint with statin therapy. And as I mentioned, there was no benefit of statins in patients who had no calcium and they were in the lower intermediate risk group. Patients who had a calcium score greater than 100 had a 64 to 71% reduction in endpoints, even in the low and intermediate risk groups. So this study really lends strong support to the recent 2018 ACC/AHA guideline on cholesterol therapy recommending that we use a calcium score to assist in decision-making in patients with low to intermediate risk. And the calcium score in this case was being used in a fairly young cohort, the average age of 50. Also remember that the absence of calcium should not infer that statins are not warranted in the higher-risk subjects. And indeed, in this particular study, they also had major benefit, more than 50% risk reduction. The other article I wanted to just mention today was the AHA scientific statement on exercise programs for peripheral arterial disease. This is an excellent document, and you can find the original document on acc.org. Evidence supporting the efficacy of exercise therapy for patients with PAD goes back more than 50 years, when 6 months of unsupervised intermittent walking was demonstrated to improve symptoms in patients, including peak walking time. And now, 50 years later, we have many trials that support the benefit of exercise in our patients with peripheral arterial disease. And I think to summarize this excellent article, I really recommend that you read it. The studies show that supervised exercise training for patients with PAD, obviously it should be individualized in terms of the duration, intensity, and frequency of exercise and the work-to-rest ratio. But certainly evidence suggests the major benefit. The current thinking is that exercise sessions should be progressing up to a target goal of accumulating 30 to 45 minutes of treadmill walking per session. Generally, exercise should be carried out at an intensity that we think would elicit mild claudication, typically within, say, 5 minutes, and moderate claudication within 10 minutes, followed by rest until the claudication subsides. And as you know, many of these patients can then go on and exercise for a longer time period. And the randomized trials looking at supervised exercise training demonstrate significant improvement in walking performance, particularly when the sessions are at least 3 times per week. This allows for the physiologic effects of exercise to take hold. So I really recommend you read this summary article of exercise programs for PAD. So often it seems like we're rushing toward the notion of an intervention for claudication. And really many, many of our patients with PAD, once they stop smoking, control risk factors, and go through supervised exercise training, can avoid intervention entirely. So I recommend this review article to you for your consideration. I want to thank you for listening to Eagle's Eye View. This is your weekly cardiovascular update from acc.org, and you can find these articles on the website. Also look for our new educational catalog, which is featured. It's located under Educations and Meetings tab. Using this tool, you can get our educational offerings in various formats, and many of these, of course, are free. Find us online or wherever you get your podcasts. And I hope you have a great week.